Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Welcome, everybody. Thanking God for another day of being here. Thanking God for another opportunity to bring you a segment. Everything is going to be just fine. We are hoping, that there will be no technical difficulties today because we have had one heck of a week last week. We had a great start this week to our show. The last couple of days has been very vivid, very animated, wonderful panelists. That Deacon Bloody Williams has been in here. And tonight's topic is going to probably incite some battles, maybe between you and your significant other. But hopefully, at the end of the discussion tonight, you guys will take something home positive and do a little changing after we talk. So, a little bit later on in the broadcast, we're going to have Monster Miles returning back with no old bought sports segment. So many trades is going on with these teams. So many stupid decisions we believe has happened and taken place. Going to get our minds a little bit off this George Zimmerman trial. And we're going to move along and have some other stuff, okay? So my usual sponsor shout-outs today. Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS. Currently now with iSoul Radio and CEO of Track One Entertainment. Thank you, man, for being a good friend, a good consultant, part of our team, and being just who you are. God bless you, man. And to Stephanie Hammond-Tillett and Marcia Morgan with Simply Sensational Inc. Entertainment. They are absolutely people worthy of living up to their company name. They are simply sensational. I appreciate you ladies more than you know. Thank you for being on our team. Thank you for allowing us to be on yours. Now, tonight's topic is going to be about, the title is, I'm Sorry, the Two-Word Wonder, meaning that who wants to stand up and take responsibility for their actions in something that's gone wrong, an argument, a debate with maybe the fallout of a friendship or a relationship. We're tackling accountability on all types of relationships, from friendships to boss relationships, to sister and brother, to marriage. We want to speak about if all of the big volcanic blow-ups, aftermath that happened with an argument, would saying I'm sorry to begin with have prevented a lot of the extras. And at the same token, there's a time when you can use I'm sorry in another bad fashion. So, without further ado, I'm going to head off to our morning break, our early break, and I'll be back and we get to show this topic started, okay? Here's CeCe's Penitence, Keep On Walking. I'll be back in 4.5.
Waiting to the fading rain.
Edge.
Hello, Katie? Katie, I really can't hear you. So if you can hear me, I can't hear you. Mute me now. Mute me.
Okay, are we back? I think that I lost you guys. Sorry about that. There's been some issues with our mics right now. So I'm going to repeat what I said so that everybody who just joined us will know where we're at right now. Okay? Tonight's topic is called I'm Sorry, the Two-Word Wonder. Okay? So let's get back to talking about how the example that I use is a conflict in any type of a relationship. But I started off with, of course, the one that everybody really thinks of when they think of an argument, and that's among intimate people, between a husband and wife, a boyfriend, girlfriend, brother, sister, mother, daughter, things to that effect. So let's do the romantic relationships, because that's usually the ones that get the most heated, okay? An argument in a relationship can start about anything serious, or it could be as little as nothing. So starting off with this argument, let's just say it's one of those silly ones where you're setting the table and you're saying, what a nice blue plate or what a nice blue pot, and your significant other thinks, no, that's not blue. It's more like a navy or a midnight or a black. And let's just say that for some reason that sets your other person off. So then the argument becomes now an inflated, escalated, all-out war. People, tempers are flying, somebody's walked out, somebody's not speaking, and I say, and as you know, by the time that any conflict becomes to the escalation point, both parties, by that time, has something that they're accountable for contributing to that conflict. Now, it could have started that the other person was the initiator or the aggressor or the person that said the most harmful things, but if it got to a point where you indulged that person, some things came out of your mouth too. So now you both have to sit back and figure out what about this conflict you can take accountability for. Now, if you're not the one who started it and you don't know where it came from, you don't have to be, let's say, drop your image and say, I'm sorry, and take blame for the situation. What you can say is something like, I didn't have to react that way, or I didn't have to call you this, or that's not what I meant to say, so I apologize for that. And at the same token, you're equally entitled to get that person to give that person forgiveness. On the other hand, if you're the aggressor, you should be the first one saying, you know what, I don't know what came over me, I'm really sorry, whatever. Now, there are people out there that would chop off their toes, run to Switzerland with no ticket, they'll swim there if they have to avoid feeling like they're soft, punked, a wuss for saying that they're sorry. Meanwhile, because of that, that other person who feels like, how dare you walk around acting like you have the audacity to act like nobody did anything wrong from your end. Okay? That person would chop off their toes before they'll ever say the I'm sorry word or I apologize or I was wrong. So now, with that being said, the things that come along with that is can lead to breakup, could lead to a person who maybe not even know you thinking you're a bad person. Could lead them to believe that maybe you never loved me all along. All of this because you didn't open up your mouth and say, I don't like the fact that we argued. Maybe I didn't have to say what I said, and I'm sorry. Okay, I have two panelists that are here on the line, so I'm going to ask Lady Diamond, who was cut off for due to the technical problems, to give her spin on what she thinks, and then we'll bring our second panelist. Hang on with me, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, Lady Diamond. You're back on the air. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear me?
Yes. You know what? It was a connection on this end, so.
Okay.
All right. So, is I'm sorry a two-word wonder and a preventative for some disasters? What do you say?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, saying I'm sorry, saying I apologize, taking accountability for something, for a conflict.
Is it between a couple or a friendship? It's dependent. It's just between people, right?
Yes. But let's talk about relationships. I think that the biggest flaw.
You go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was saying I think that I'm going to use a relationship example. You know, an intimate relationship. I believe that's where the biggest loss and disaster comes from when an argument doesn't get resolved. And as a matter of fact, I think that's the forum that has the most damage or the most unnecessary aftermath that makes the conflict itself look menial. So
right.
Do you think that in a relationship with an argument that could have started out with something very serious and very great, but or it could have been something as small as, I'm aggravated today and you just got on my nerves because I'm aggravated, and then it escalated to something else. So if it gets to the point where now you're not talking or the argument went bigger, do you think that starting off with saying those two little words, I'm sorry, can prevent bigger disasters?
Well, of course, in my point of view, in that part, we both know about the I'm sorry part. It's either you mean it or you're saying it just to shut me up. That's how I take it, you know? Through my past relationship, that every time that I see something wrong, that I get automatically blamed. So, of course, automatically I will have to say sorry. I'm saying sorry because I mean it. But it's me saying sorry so many times, it's to the point that he's not going to believe me. You know, and I'll keep on saying sorry, and he still probably won't believe me. You know, I think that, you know, as sincere as I'll be, compared to me saying sorry and just getting on the person's nerves, knowing that I'm going to keep on doing it again, knowing that, you know, I'm not learning from this, I'm just getting on your nerves right now, because I know it's pissing you off. And it happens. And related to the fact of, yes, I'm having an aggravating day, and then, you know, the first person I see is the person I supposedly love. And I can't stand him, you know? And of course, I'm going to get on his nerves saying, oh my God, I hate how you eat. Stop eating like that. You're annoying me. We're both through that, you know? And we don't mean it. Somebody that we do not mean, nobody means it. Men do it too. How they describe a woman. Oh, you know, you don't know how to speak. They walk into the room and they say, oh, you know, how come you have those TV so long? We're 3 months. You know, simple things like that could start an argument that is, like, very small that could be avoided. But, yeah, relationships, that's how it is. For some reason, it shouldn't be like, it should not be like that at all. Relationships should not be like, okay, if you're sorry, you're sincere about it, you know about it, you want that person, you and that person has to move on from it and not have it brought up again in the future. Compared to now, you're sorry and it's being brought back again because it still bothers that person.
Okay, so let's put out a specific example and let's talk about whether I'm sorry would have avoided, let's say, a divorce or let's say, some physical damage, and then not even to a person. Let's say the property, depending on what type of temperament each person has. Okay, let's say exactly what you said. That's a perfect example. You're having a bad day at work. You walk home and your husband or your boyfriend is not doing a thing. You know, maybe they're just sitting and watching TV, and for some reason you had a bad day at work. You feel like you've taken the load on for all of your coworkers that day. And you probably are expecting to come home and at least be in that person's arms because they're supposed to be your balance. They're supposed to be your cushion. And then all they're doing is sitting there watching TV, didn't even acknowledge that you walked through the door. So you're the person that started in and started beefing. And, you know, what is it? I come in here and you're just a bum. You know, like you're upset. Mm-hmm. So your frustration came out and told that person, you're like a bum. You're just a bum. You don't do anything. Okay? Hmm. And then that person hurt by what you said. So they got up and they're like, what are you talking about? And of course, if he's a man, you know, he's going to be like, wait, well, who are you talking to? Like, the first thing that comes to a guy's mind is, I'm not no punk, or I'm not a punk, or I'm not some person, some patsy you could beat up on. Where's this coming from? And then he'll start to go off on you. Well, you know what? You're a nagging bee, or you're a this. And now it's gotten to that point, and not one of you stopped at that moment because the heat is up. Okay, let's just say one of you storms off and walks out, and you come back later. Now, you know you started that fight, right? But by that time, that person has said 15 other things in retaliation, and then other things that had nothing to do with the actual argument has come in. Now, if you say you're sorry because you thought it through, or you walked in and you still feel like he shouldn't have said those things to me. I know I was a little upset, but shoot, he said things that are worse. Now, if you stick to that and all the other things that come along and that person's hurt, and of course, if they're hurt and they felt that they were wrong, they're not going to say anything to you. Meanwhile, you know you were wrong to start that fight. Regardless of the valid explanation, you came in and you started a fight. Now, whose responsibility would it be there to at least open the channels up back to communication? Now, you were saying earlier that I'm sorry could go either way. That's going to be a next point further along in this discussion. I'm speaking specifically on saying I'm sorry to start to mend the argument. Because, like I said, you walked in and you were frustrated and you started pouring in on the guy, right? So now it went bigger because now he called you names and probably brought up something that hurt you in your past, and he was supposed to be the person never to bring that up again. But in that argument, because he didn't know where to go and you just throwing daggers at him, he done said that because he felt that would hurt you like he was hurting. But maybe he shouldn't have said those things regardless to what was going on. So by this point, both of you have something that you are accountable for. And at the same time, both of you have something that you deserve to be to get an apology for. So both of you are mandated to say you're sorry for something, and both of you are entitled to an apology for something. Now, do you think at that point, if one of you broke down, even if the tempers are still hot and the hurt is still fresh, saying I'm sorry might start mending or taking you to another place? Hello? Hello, Lane, you there? Okay, we might have another little issue. Lane, if you can hear me, call back in, sweetheart, okay? Let me go on to my next panelist, and I'm going to bring them in, and Elaine will join us back in. Caller, you on the air?
Hello? Hello?
Yes. Can you hear me, Elaine?
Can you hear me? Yes, do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know what happened.
Yes, I can hear you now. Yeah, it's with the
I heard what you said. I heard everything you said, but I wasn't sure if you heard. If I was trying to talk, and I guess you didn't hear me.
We're having storm weather, listeners, so every time that storm happens, we will have some connection issues just for a bit. So just bear with us. So you heard the question. So my question to you
is,
okay, so do you feel that if one of you was to say that you were sorry, even if it wasn't the person who started it, would that help the situation?
Yes, I feel that it should help the situation. Yes, I feel it should help the situation. If I hear that he started the argument and he said, you know what, I'm sorry, I know as a, you know, I know that everything you said you did not mean. It was all set out, you know, it was all set out of content. It was not supposed to happen. Especially if I saw the argument, I will apologize. So, you know, I'm sorry. I had a bad day. I didn't want to put it all on you. I'm sorry that it went this way. And hopefully he would see my side and say, you know what, you had a bad day. I'm sorry, but, you know, do what you gotta do. And when you're back to normal, come back and talk. I mean, that's how it should be working. That, you know, you get back together and say, you know what, I'm sorry. You talk about it. Talk about the day at work, what should have been done. You know, I mean, it's all about face. When you walk into your home, it's like walking into an interview. They see your attitude right there when you're at the door. So once you walk into your house, your family feeds onto the attitude of you once you walk in. You know, so it's like once you walk into the living room, the first thing they see is your husband or whoever. And they see how you are. They see you're angry, and they're like, oh, what's up your ass? That's the first thing that will come up. Sorry to say like that. Oh, what's wrong with you? And that's the first thing that will come out of their mouth instead of saying, oh, how was your day? Or they'll ask, how was your day? And you end up snapping at them. You had a bad day. And it happens. It does happen a lot. And it's like I said, it's all about face. When you walk into the interview, they see your attitude right there. Same thing when you're walking at home, they see your attitude right there.
Okay. Okay, let me bring the second panelist in, and then we'll continue the conversation. Hang on. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes.
Oh, hello. Hello, Deacon. How are you?
Hello. Fine. How about yourself?
Okay, so have you been listening in from the start of the topic?
Yes, I have. Very interesting conversation.
Okay.
Some people
what
excuse me?
I said, yes, what?
Excuse me?
I said, what are your thoughts on it?
Okay. It seems like a lot of people, when you get into relationships and you have a disagreement anywhere, those words, I'm sorry, seem to be like pulling teeth from both sides sometimes. But you have to be aware of words like a double-edged sword. Once you put those words out in the air, they're out there. You can't take them back. And sometimes people can't accept those words, I'm sorry. Because like the lady was saying, that a lot of times people feel like you're just saying you're sorry just to shut them up. And some people mean those words wholeheartedly, and when somebody tells them, well, you're just saying that just to shut me up so you won't have to listen to this, and that's kind of like throwing it back in their face, and that's, you know, it's kind of rough to deal with. But if in order to make their relationship stronger, you should both be able to sit down and face each other and discuss the situation. If not, it's not even worth anything.
Indeed, I believe that. So now let me touch on the point that both of you agreed on, and of course we know is a definite possibility. Saying I'm sorry might be something that a person says that becomes too chronic for belief. And what I mean, if you're a girl or a guy that's a chronic cheater, and you have a partner that's sticking through it and forgives you every single time, and then you walk in and you say I'm sorry again, that starts to sound like a poison. But I'm speaking, okay, then there's, I'm sorry, like you said, Deacon, you can't unring a bell, you can't take back words that you said, you can only work around it. So saying I'm sorry, as sincere as you might be about it, that person might still be too raw at that particular moment to take it. So the thing is that even though, let's say, we brought up the example, you might be the aggressor of the argument, and it could be from something that has absolutely nothing with the recipient of your frustration, right? However, at the time or at the point when any debate or argument escalates to that point, by that time, both of you become accountable at some point. Both of you become accountable
at some
point, and both of you become entitled to an apology. So the thing is, I believe that the person who started it should be the first one to make the move. But if you don't, if that person is as hard-headed as their frustrations were, does that mean that the other person sits back and says, I'm not going to say anything until that person apologizes to me? Let me ask you on that, because you also come from the Christian side of things, because we do definitely have to incorporate what God says as well. So what's your take on that? Deacon.
Would you please repeat that, please, because we're breaking up a little bit.
Okay. As you said, and as Lady Diamond said, okay, sometimes I'm sorry, depending on where it's coming from and how it's delivered, of course, is not as effective for the intention it's supposed to be for, because let's say if it's a person who's a chronic cheater, a chronic adulterer, or a chronic abuser, okay, to constantly say you're sorry, those words are no longer softening and pleasing. They now become a poison. But in the same token, I'm sorry could also be not accepted, because if you are the aggressor saying I'm sorry, that person at that moment might be too raw from, as you said, you can't take back words that you say. So if that person is too raw or too hurt from what was said and they're not ready to accept I'm sorry at the time, should it still be said?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, a lot of times when you say you're sorry, those are, like you said, they're just words, but you have to a lot of times show that you really mean you're sorry by your actions. You know, because some people, they could tell you, well, I'm sorry, but their actions, their attitudes, and their mannerisms and stuff don't go along with what they said out of their mouths. So in my opinion, you know, if I tell you I'm sorry, I'm not just going to tell you I'm sorry. I'm going to make an effort to reassure you by my actions.
Okay, that's very good, because that's exactly where it comes from. It's not just talking the talk, it's walking the walk. So now
right.
I'm going to ask this question again. If you are the aggressor, okay, and you are a proud citizen, because as I was saying earlier, and I don't know if you caught what I said, there are some people that live in America and will fly to Switzerland, swim to Switzerland, chop off their toes, you know, walk around and lose everything they have in the person that they know they love, simply because saying I'm sorry takes away their pride. Pride that is a sinful type of pride, meaning that
right.
you would rather let the world fold around you rather than say you're sorry, especially if you know you're wrong, okay? Especially if you know you're wrong. Now, on the other hand, if the person that was the recipient of the aggressor's action, okay, does that mean that if they know that the person in their life is a stubborn, proudful person, that probably will eventually, because that person means that much to them, give in and say, I'm sorry. But if the person that was offended sits back and goes, no, I'm not going to say anything because he was wrong or she was wrong. Now, is that any better?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so is any better, especially if, if I'm the aggressor, I would be man enough to admit, you know, wholeheartedly, look, I'm sorry, I was wrong, you know, and I want to know what can I do to reassure you and make it up to you, to show you how sorry I am, but you know, if the recipient doesn't accept that, there's nothing I can do about that. There's absolutely nothing I can do about that. I can't force feed them. I can't force feed them anything. It's like the old saying: you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Okay, so now here's a little tough question. Now let me go back to Elaine with the question I just posed. Lady Diamond, answer that question for me. Do you think? Okay, let's say you are dealing with the person that you know started the fight. Let's say it's you. You brought up the example, like I said, it was you that walked in and started getting on the person because you were frustrated. You were looking forward to that person being your Band-Aid for the day. But that person didn't even acknowledge you walked in the door. And all you see is they're sitting down and they're either playing a game or watching the news or sports or something. And you just blew up on them. But you're prideful. You're the type of person that, I know I'm wrong, but I ain't going to never say it because, you know, I'm not. All right, okay. So let's say that your partner feels that they did nothing wrong. So they're not going to be the first one to apologize because they might feel that you're going to do it again or you're putting them down. So do you feel that that person's reaction makes it worse or better or is correct?
Yeah, that person's reaction will be worse because they don't trust me. They don't trust, you know, if I'm going to blow up on them just because I had a bad day and they got to the point of getting used to it, that I'm always blowing up on them and always pointing the finger at them and me not saying, you know what, I'm sorry, and I just say, you know what, whatever is your fault, whatever is, everything is your fault, the guy's rule is your fault, the dirt, you know, the dirt on the ground is your fault, and they're going to take it like that, yeah, they're not going to trust me. They're actually not going to trust me. So the day that I actually come out and say, you know what, I'm sorry, they're going to be like, what did I do now wrong to make you say I'm sorry?
Now, that's a sad situation when a husband comes home or what wife comes home and they say, I'm sorry, and that person doesn't take the apology because either it's chronic, they've heard it before, nothing changes, which is a great case in domestic violence. But now I'm going to ask, before I get on that point, I'm going to ask a very tough question since I have one of each gender on my panel right now. Do you think it's harder for a man to admit wrong and say, I'm sorry? Or do you think a woman is quicker to say, I'm going to put the fact that I didn't do anything wrong aside because I want this to go away and I want to make it right? Do you think a man is quicker or more? It's more difficult for them, or is it for a woman? Let me start with you, Elaine.
Well, with me, with my past, I'm going to count my past situation in this. So I'm very quick at saying I'm sorry. I am very quick because I just want to squash everything and move on with my life. I don't want to keep it in me and then, you know, vent on it and then make it worse. I like to let it go and say I'm sorry, me being female. A man that I've dealt with, my ex that I've dealt with, he would never say I'm sorry to me. No matter how many times he's done wrong to me, he would never say sorry to me.
Okay. And Deacon Zeddy, what do you say?
Well, my whole thing is it all depends on the person and what they're really about. For me, I don't have a problem admitting when I'm wrong. And then sometimes I will even apologize when I know I'm not wrong, just to keep the flames down, you know. Also, I'm in full agreement on the word that says, "Don't let the sun go down on your anger."
Mm-hmm.
Don't let the sun go down on your anger and go to sleep together, and you're both still angry because the anger is still going to be there in the morning. And in the morning, that anger will have been burning all night long. And you wake up, and then you wake up from a little spark to a full blown forest fire, and you don't want that.
Hence, what I said sometimes the aftermath of a conflict is actually worse than the conflict itself. But now let me ask you this: with what you just said, Deacon, the letting the sun go down on anger. Now, that also could be leading to guilt because, God forbid, one of you don't wake up in the morning.
Right.
You know, one of you don't wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
But now let me bring the apology back. I'm going to ask you, not based on you guys' personal convictions, because you guys know that you are who you are. On a whole, do you think it's harder for a man or a woman to be the first one to admit wrong?
Well, can I answer that first?
You first.
I think a woman is quicker to apologize than a man, I think.
I would say that too, and I don't want to say it first because I don't want people listening thinking that of course I would say that because I've seen some stubborn women too.
Oh yeah. You can believe that.
Okay.
They are. My goodness, yes.
Okay, I've seen that. And Elaine, what do you think?
Well, I have answered it already. I mean, me being a female, yes, as women, I have to agree, there are some that are very stubborn. They'll just keep us petty all the way because they're hard-headed like that. But in me being a female, I am very quick at saying sorry because I just want to squash it all and then they do, I can say it's pride over, you know, anything for them to apologize.
Yeah.
I would say that it's a little harder for a man overall because he's supposed to be the strong one. And strength, they say, they have a perception of strength that's absolutely not true strength. So they're more with the primitive, you know, physical I could beat on my chest type thing. And for them to say, I'm sorry, they equate that from previous training from their ancestors as being, you don't say sorry to no woman. What's wrong with you? You know? And mm-hmm. women are like, I just don't want anything to go wrong. This is, you know, a woman is a lot quicker to stick through adversity than a man. Now, let me not make that a full-fledged, cemented-in-stone blanket statement because we're speaking on general terms here, okay? And I, like I said, there's been some stubborn women and there's been some very, very humble men, okay? I've seen mm-hmm. smart men that's been married for years that they know their wife's flaws and they'll go to their sons, listen, a happy wife is a happy life. You know, and they'll know, yeah, yeah. Doesn't make them any less of a man. It just makes them go, you know what, I'm going to the bar, forget you. But they'll know by the certain time they get there, yeah, let me get back home, I don't want to hear it. You know, but if that's the way that it works, that actually still does whatever, because at least at the end of the day, that might still open up doors for the argument to end. But now, let's go to some extreme cases. But they're not rare, but they're extreme. Okay, there's a person that knows they came into a relationship or a friendship or into anything, any situation with a scheme, with a plan, okay? If they've gotten away with it with other people, but they run into that one person that actually cares about them, okay? And what happens is now they're stuck because now they're starting to feel certain things that they didn't expect to feel. And what they do is they continue their game thinking they're going to get away with it, but then this person that they're doing this to catches on and calls them out on it. So what they do is rather than say they're sorry, they look for what exactly took place and they pick out ways to turn it around on the person that they victimized. So now, I'm sorry, even if they mean it or they feel it, they would rather run away, ignore the person, like I said, chop off their feet, swim in ice water before they'll stand there and face it and deal with the hurt for a minute and get through it. Okay? In that respect, then you have the ones, like look, we spoke about earlier, that are chronic repeat offenders. Mm-hmm. And the words, I'm sorry, because for that moment, it's a temporary fix. Or it gives them what they want to get them to distract from accounting for it. Now it becomes something that becomes routine and not actually a fix-all. So how do you feel about that? That's when I'm sorry starts to become ineffective, like taking too much medicine for something.
Wow.
So your thoughts, Ethan, on that one?
Wow, that's pretty deep. I've been in a situation to where in a relationship where I've never had a problem with saying I'm sorry or trying to go out my way to prove that I am sorry. But it's just that the person I was dealing with, you know, didn't care either way on either side. So it makes it a struggle sometimes, you know, because even the person that you're dealing with know they were wrong, but they can't just bring themselves to say, well, I'm sorry, I know I was wrong. I can't see why that would be hard for a person to admit that they're wrong. And I'm looking at a similar situation as far as relationships myself. So it really is mind-boggling at times, boy, because all people are different. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and... Well, some of the ways that they have is just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah. I will apologize. I don't even mean no guy did anything wrong.
Yeah.
You understand?
But
I mean,
this is,
so I will respect with that person, and then I'm going to, you know, I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm saying sorry. I'm just saying I'm sorry. Just because I just, like, it's not really no problem, you know? So
yeah.
That's how I do it. That's how I am.
Now, there was a situation that I personally experienced where there was a particular person that it was supposed to be sort of like a new venture, okay? And I don't know if this person had a personality thing where for so long this person either perceived upon himself or felt other people perceive them as being like a top dog. But when you put out a certain image, that's false, and you have to try to live up to that, knowing that that's not who you are, then you start to become conflicted with yourself. So now this particular individual, okay, walked around, and, you know, he has a whole posse of people around him. Now, physical presence doesn't always mean a connection, in case you don't know what I mean. MC Hammer, because both you and I and Zeddy, Deacon Zeddy and us, we're all from the era where we remember who that is, okay?
Yeah.
Now, every time you saw MC Hammer, whether he was accepting an award or simply sitting by his pool, you saw a harem of people around him. Not women, but people, because his mind was, once I get big from here, I am going to bring along everybody that went along this journey with me, and I'm going to give them a little something to do, no matter what it is. It could be as much as just picking up my slip. I'm going to give them a job, or I'm going to give them something to do. It's my new opportunity. Well, this individual is something like that. You know, he would go to clubs or bars, and he always knew how to talk to the big people or do whatever. So now, when it came down for him to actually get to the point of, I actually like this person, I actually like this person for me, forget the big stuff, forget whatever. But what happened was, wait a minute, whoa, that's a little too much, because now that means I'm going to have to explain myself to the people around me. Because now everybody's going to start saying, whoa, you settling down, or whoa, you're not the big wig anymore. So what happened was, when the next time came around that we were supposed to be, I guess, hooking up or going out or doing whatever for the first time, this person decided that, wait a minute, I can't bring down my vision, my image here. So let me act like the person that I really like that is not significant. She's just one of the many. Okay? Now, mind you, I'm not understanding that at all, because everything was just hunky-dory, you know, behind the scenes or whatever. Okay? So when we get there, I'm not the type of person that can do that. So I'm not understanding it. So I didn't make a scene. I just pretty much stayed to myself, and I said, when that person is ready to come talk to me, we'll talk, and I'll ask what's going on. I'll find out. Problem was, being that he was in his persona, he didn't like the fact that I was, you know, giving him the respect of keeping my distance as well. Like, I should have been coming up to him the way all the other insignificant people were. Okay, so now I started to feel bad, and then when we got to the point of talking about it, he blew up, because now that means, wait a minute, she called me out on it. Oh, my God, what do I do? So what happened was, well, you were drunk. Well, you were this. Well, you were that. And knowing that that's not what took place at all. Because as soon as I asked, well, when did that happen? Well, what are you talking about? Well, tell me when. Then it was just screaming, and then it was all about, you know, well, yeah, you were, and I had proof. I had people. Say I'm sorry, dude. Just say I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I didn't mean to bring that impression, and things might have been better. You understand? Sometimes it's not about what you look like. Sometimes if there's nothing that anybody wants from you except that I'm sorry, because it shows that the person they believed you are, you truly are.
Mm-hmm.
So you would rather risk people thinking that you're a total jerk simply because saying I'm sorry, I don't know, pulls teeth from you? You would rather risk your reputation, risk what you could have with that person, or even at least having a civil leave-off. You understand? You would rather walk outside keeping your image as a big man intact or a big woman intact, but you lost out on something nice, or you lost out on your integrity. I'm sorry goes a long way, and sometimes you may not even have to say anything else. Sometimes you may not have to say anything else, and you would have avoided the broken dishes. You would have avoided the excess insults. You would have avoided losing out on something that could have been a big future for you. This goes with bosses, too. This goes with coworkers as well. But we're speaking on relationships because that's usually the most touchy. That's the part that you would stick through. Your heart is in it. You can't just let it go. Sometimes it could be bad as all hell for you, but you'd rather try to make it work until the fat lady thing. even though she's been climbing for the whole thing. But you'd rather stick it through to say that you did everything you could, even gave up your right to be apologized to. I'm going to take a little break.
Go ahead, Katie. Take a break.
All right. Yeah, when we get back, Elaine, keep your thought in your head, and I will pick up with you after the break, okay?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. This is a new song by Joe. It's called Compromise. Listen to the lyrics because it applies to the topic very much, okay? I'll be back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back to the On the Edge show, everyone. This is Katie Barnett, your host. I am going to reiterate our topic for the evening for those of you that's just joining us. Tonight's topic is I'm sorry, the two-word wonder. We are speaking on if using the words I'm sorry in the middle of conflict. We are mainly speaking on relationships because that seems to be the most disastrous conflict aftermath when people don't come to a point of making it a point to reopen communication channels. And one of the things, as our two one major panelists said, is that I'm sorry could go either way. Now, if you are knowing that you're the aggressor of a conflict, okay, and you have pride to go with it, it's a lethal combination. Because if it's somebody that you've been with, invested time with, have a future with, you're supposed to do every and anything that you can to be sure that it works and it's at its best. On the other hand, if you are a chronic offender and you're using the words, I'm sorry is not going to make it better. Because that's just you talking the talk, and it becomes something that people say, I've heard this before, step to another record. Change the channel, change the tune, do something, because I'm sorry is not working this time. If you have children involved, if you have a life involved, if you have a life investment involved, and you're a person that chronically messes up your own world, as the offender, you should understand that you have to understand that saying I'm sorry, even if you really mean it this time, and you've said it before, that person may not be so open to it, and it's your job to take it as a circumstance of your own action, a consequence of your own action. And it's something that you must do to prove yourself, because now that burden's on you. On the other hand, a conflict, when it comes to the point of escalation, by that time, both parties involved is equally offensive and equally offended. So both of you are entitled to an apology for something or other in the conflict, as well as you have to forgive someone. Okay, we're going to bring our panelists back on the air. Deacon, are you with us?
Yes.
Okay, 1 second. Lady Diamond, before the break, you began to say something. I hope you didn't lose your train of thought.
Oh, no, I didn't lose my thought. I didn't lose my thought at all. Don't worry. Yeah.
So you were saying that.
You mentioned something about image, you know, that how people keep the image and there's reasons why, you know, there was a particular thing. And, yeah, you are right. I mean, I know certain people that have, like, a certain image that they keep, like myself. I don't have an image. I have a reputation to keep myself. You know, I'm coach of girls softball team. I teach you to do, you know, everybody knows me as the way I am from church and everything. So for me, I represent myself saying, okay, I am sorry, you know, and show them, listen, I am a better person compared to other people that I know that they have a certain reputation of, they have to keep their own personality as being single, or they have to keep themselves as being a bad person. They're known as a bad person, you know, and they can keep their reputation as being a bad person. So when anything happens and they know it's their fault, they're not going to say they're sorry, you know. I know someone that he was seen as a bad person, and everybody's like, oh, you know what, you can't take him seriously. But to the point where he said, you know what, I'm sorry, I did this, I am wrong, nobody believes him. Because he was known as a bad person, a certain reputation that he kept for himself, then everybody fell back on and said, you know what, he, you know, we can't take him seriously on this, because him saying sorry, he's going to end up doing it again, you know, and the certain reputations that everybody has, or, you know, images that they keep for themselves that, get, you know, that is true or cannot be true. So, like myself, I could say I'm sorry, and the person who's worse than me, who's always into fights, who's always, you know, into, you know, the streets and everything like that, they won't say sorry compared to a person who is like me that would not say sorry, and then a person that just is from the streets and says, you know, you have no respect, at least say you're sorry, you know? So, I'm like, the image thing is, like, is different ways how we could look at the image of a person.
Absolutely. I wanted to share something with both of you. I tried to look for a more updated article, but this is as recent as I got. Cosmopolitan magazine released a top 10 reasons couples break up article. And some of them were surprising and some of them were expected or you've heard it before. So I want to share these 10 reasons, okay? The first one, the number one reason that people fall, that people break up, and this was 39.7% of the overall survey, was we fell out of love. We just fell out of love. And
wow.
That one I want to come back. I want to come back to because, that's a little touchy. Number two is he cheated. Now, being that this was 2 years ago, I'm not going to put it on all men. A lot more men are being faithful, and it's a lot more of the women that feel like we've been oppressed for so long, and guys do it. Why can't we? Which is absolute garbage, but. That's the number two reason. That was 36.6% of the overall group that was surveyed. Number three, again, he lied about something and I couldn't trust him again, exactly what we were talking about. But this also, again, ladies, applies to those of you that are starting to feel that you can wear the pants in this situation and do what men do, okay? And it's sad because men shouldn't always be pegged with that either because it's not just men. And that was 29.3%. Now, number four, 29.1% of the people said, we were always fighting and realized we shouldn't be together. I want to come back to that one as well. Number five and number six were tied between two different things. 21.1% of people surveyed said, either A, he stopped doing sweet romantic things for me, and or I miss being single and dating around. That was number five and six times. Okay? I might want to come back to that one. Number seven, and this one I could tell you can be a killer. He wasn't very ambitious, or she wasn't very ambitious when it came to his career. Now, this one I will kind of say does kind of fall more on men. And this is not a sexist situation. More men are more into not a career but a job. Because they're more in provisionary stage or, you know, showboating stage. And, yeah, I got the dollars for it. I've got the money or I can do this. So a lot of women who are actual partners of this type of man wants to see him succeed in a more future investive type way. And that actually was 20.6% of the people that were surveyed. Number eight was one of us moved away, 20.2%. Number nine, which I don't think should ever, ever be a problem, unless it's to the point of abuse from his part or her part, which he didn't get along with my friends and family. That's a big no-no. Big no-no. But 18.9% of the people use that reason. And number 10 was the sex was bad.
I'm sorry.
15.7% of the people they surveyed said the sex was bad and that caused a problem. Now,
that's a shame.
Getting back to the first reason, the number one reason which bothered me, we just fell out of love. Now, I can understand that. If it was one person trying to carry the relationship for many years and had to sacrifice more of themselves, but as far as two people falling out of love, I don't know, because see, Love is supposed to be constant, not just when you can walk together. You know, those people that marry and supposed to marry till death do you part. Love, how are you viewing love? Love is supposed to be when things are sick or thin. Because one of you is
and not
one
sided.
Exactly. One of you is supposed to be able to be the fill-in for what the other person lacks. Okay,
yep.
So falling out of love, that means that y'all didn't do your work. The two of you didn't do the work it took to make it work. You didn't reinvent yourselves. You didn't try to think of where did the breakup or where did the excitement go. All right, number two, which I think is usually number one, is that there was infidelity. And like I said, I can't say it's just the men anymore because I've been witnessing quite a lot of very loving, very open, very wonderful men that have been treated badly by women. So I'm not going to put that all on men anymore. All right?
I can't
now,
either. I agree with you, Katie. I 100% agree with you on that one because I know a lot of men that they are like, you know,
faithful to the bone, and just one girl, the one that they fell in love with, will destroy the whole thing just because she cheated on him. And it's like they can't bounce off of that. They can't. There's no way that they could bounce off of that because they were too faithful for her and they can't even go on.
And that actually ruins a lot of good men that are out there and that break the mold of all men are dogs type thing. Now, number three, mm-hmm. which I think be number two, was, or number one even, I couldn't trust that person. Now, trust, I don't care how much love there is. If there's no trust, you really don't have anything.
There's nothing.
Because
amen.
You're in a
amen.
Yes, I have trust there to have love.
You should not be in a relationship if you have to sleep with one eye open, literally or otherwise, okay? If you have to, if your man or woman is coming home and the first thing you want to do is check their phone or put a detective on them, you better get to stepping.
Yep.
Because trust
right.
is earned. Trust is earned and trust is proven. It's not something that's automatic. And usually people go in with a certain amount of trust, but keeping that trust, okay, once it's broken, it's hard to get back. Now, the other one I wanted to touch on, we were always fighting and realized we shouldn't be together. From experience and from seeing other people, I could tell you, if you have gotten to that point, that means there were signs earlier on.
Yeah.
And you just didn't want
yeah.
to realize it. And coming from the Christian standpoint as well, God gives you brains. He gives you sixth sense. He gives you instinct. There's a reason. All right? Everybody's trying to put a scientific spin on your instincts. That is God's natural self-defense mechanism that he gives you. It's us that chooses to see around that.
Yep.
It's us that choose to see around it. Okay? I believe that wholeheartedly. And then you wind up getting into a deep boiling pot situation that you can't climb out of. Now, the other one that I think is total and absolute garbage, with the exception of something extreme, is he or she didn't get along with my friends and family. Your relationship has no business being judged by your friends and family.
Thank
Amen.
You. Thank you.
Okay,
yeah.
I wish other people could hear this.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, I sure
even
hope
if,
a lot of people are listening.
No, I wish your friends that I more understand this.
First of all, if we're talking from Christianity, God says once you get married, you defy all others for your mate. Okay? That's the truth. That means even your parents are no longer above your spouse. Because
that's
you are
right.
designed to grow up and leave home. Now, if you are, I have a rule, okay? And I'll tell you this. I'm not to say that this has anything to do with trust. Okay, that's to my person or anything. But I'm a type of person that don't believe in just because God says that if you trust him in any situation that he'll protect you means that you should go testing that theory. So
mm-hmm.
here's my deal. If you want to be happy, don't let your man be with some woman by themselves and don't let your woman be with a man by themselves. And not because you have any trust issues, but why make a situation create itself if you can avoid it.
Don't tempt the devil.
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay? Because we are human beings, regardless of what our faith is, regardless of what our moral fiber is, we are human beings. There is something that was said in a ministry, even with regards to fathers and their daughters, or, you know, sons and their moms. Okay? A father shouldn't really have his daughter sitting between his legs. Because even though he knows the deal, physical and physiology things happen. A woman could get raped and have an orgasm. Does it mean she liked a rapist? You understand? So why would you make things happen if it doesn't have to happen? So the way I feel is if we haven't guests over and something has to be bought from the store, I'm not saying, honey, stay here with my girlfriend while I go to the store. I will not do that. I will say, babe, can you go or can you come with me?
Uh-huh.
I'm not leaving my man with no woman. Absolutely not. And I would suggest that no men trust anybody to have their woman alone either. Not because there's anything that could happen, but because something could happen. But with regards to this point about he didn't get along with my friends and family, first of all, real friends and real family who have your real best interests at heart will do two things. If they see something in the person that you're with, they will say, out of love for you, I don't trust the person, I want you to be careful, but if you love him, I love him, but I'm going to keep my eyes open.
Yeah.
Because that person is going to have to learn for themselves. You don't know what's going on with these people behind closed doors. And it's not your place. It's not your place. And if your friends and family can't get along with your man, both of those people need, or your woman, both of them need to come to a respect agreement where I don't like you, I don't have to. But you're with my friend or you're with my sister, and all I can say to you is respect her, respect him, and respect me. Now, unless your person is out there badgering your friends and family for no reason, that's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are judging how your relationship is going to be based on the opinion of your friends and family, which some of them might be jealous of what you have and try to find things to put in your head.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So keep people out of business, because that's one of the biggest breakups as well.
Yep, that sounds like my last one.
The sex was bad. Yeah, I can see that. But at the same token, if you say you are, you need to teach that person. That's my feeling. You know, so that's depending on what the overall is, you know. But that's something. But back to our topic for the evening, we heard the top 10 reasons couples break up. There are other things. All right? Sometimes it's depending on who you're with and not because of the person they are, but let's say this, cougar relationships. All right? Relationships where there are two mates that are 15 or more years older than each other. I don't care how nice that person is. There are plenty of times where there's just certain milestones in a person's life that they haven't reached yet and the other person has to pass. So it's going to take a hell of a lot of work for those two people to come to a meeting of the minds and understanding. If you're dealing with a man that's 60 and you're only 20, you got issues.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That person is at the arthritis stage and you're busy trying to reach your peak. All right?
The memory loss age. That's what you're trying to
do. We're talking physical there. Let's talk mental. Let's talk from a philosophical level. All right? Let's talk from a philosophical level. A man at 60 is wise and experienced. A girl at 20 is just coming out of her curfew.
Yep.
The things that she's ready to experience, he's like, I've been there, done that. And vice versa. Okay? So now there's going to be a little resentment there. And usually, when a woman dates backwards, it's because she's trying to prove herself young again or still vibrant.
Yeah.
And usually for a guy, he wants to feel like this fine young thing likes him. You know, either way you look at it. But not to say that it can't work. God is capable in many things. Now, I do believe that somebody in their 40s and the 50s or somebody 40s to a 60s, they got a little more understanding with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that it could work at that point. I don't think that no senior citizen and a teeny bopper can make it work. But I do believe that a woman who's in her 40s or a guy in his 40s dating somebody that's 60 or 50-something, that can work because you guys are pretty much not too far removed in thoughts and experience.
Mm-hmm.
So that I believe. But if you're in it just for the pure physiology of it, you're going down.
Yeah.
Going down, okay? And it's not going to work. And frankly, it's because I believe when God created people that way, that really is supposed to be, you should be more motherly or fatherly to that person. But that's my personal take on it. I'm quite sure that the few of you that's out there that believes that it can work. But start noticing that after a while, a lot of the arguments you have, one of you might be thinking, oh, my God, you're a child.
Yep.
And the other one might be thinking, oh, my God, you're so grumpy. When you get to that point, there's a reason. Okay? So you gotta start thinking about it. Now, saying I'm sorry. Saying I'm sorry is not supposed to cost you your being, your existence. Saying I'm sorry if you're the person that was wrong, it's not supposed to mean that you bend down backwards to be unhappy just to appease someone. It's supposed to really make a difference. It's supposed to be successful. Okay, it's supposed to mean something. It's not supposed to be a shut-your-mouth remedy. It's not supposed to be, please, I just don't want the headache. It's supposed to be something that opens the channels for you to tackle what the conflict was about in the first place.
Right.
That's what it's supposed to be. Okay, so if you're using it to shut somebody up or distract from accountability or not to take your responsibility or to hide out from having to face it, there is not a place on this earth that God created that you can hide from and not eventually come back into the situation and face it one way or the other. And then you're going to have to face all the extra stuff that you added on from running and hiding in the first place. You did it. Yep. Own up to it. It's going to hurt. You may not even get what you're looking for. And sometimes people be like, if I say I'm sorry, then that means that I'm admit I'm wrong, and then I'm going to be a punk the next time.
If I
wake up with this person, I did them wrong. Some people deliberately, because they want to break up with a person, they treat them cruel on purpose, or they try to do something that they know they couldn't take. So definitely that person's going to get out their hair. And that doesn't always work the way you think, buddy. You understand? Because if you're with a person that's going to stick it out no matter what, they just want to hear their thought that you're sorry so that they can move on and close off. Now, I appreciate you guys in today, but because we have the return of the sports segment, I do have to go to break and bring Monster Miles in. Both of you are sports buffs, so stick around because we're talking about all the teams change. Trade some of the bad decisions these coaches and general managers have made. And definitely, Deacon Williams, I want your opinion on this. And definitely, Lady Diamond, I want your opinion on this, okay? So stick around with me. Half an hour left.
No problem.
Miles is going to do his humor thing, and we're all going to crack up. So I am going to play Kenny G's Don't Make Me Wait for Love, because this is sort of going to the fact that when you're waiting for somebody to say that you're sorry, you know? So hang out with me, guys. I'll be back in 5 minutes, and the next voice you hear will be Monster Miles, okay?
Okay. We can't let life slip away.
listening to On the Edge.
Yo, what's good, folks? Your boy Monster Miles is back. I know it seemed like I've been MIA on y'all, but hey, stuff happens. So now let's get to these lovely sports. Let's talk about these dumb trades the NBA made right now. For one, why would they send Dwight Howard to Houston? Dwight Howard did nothing for the Lakers, and he's supposed to be one of the best NBA players. No, apparently he wasn't, because you couldn't put him with Kobe Bryant. Now you're going to put him with Jeremy Lin and James Harden, thinking that's going to make a big three now. Everybody wants to make a big three after Miami. I'm sick of the big three. Go sit down. Dwight Howard, go retire. Please. Can't stand you anymore. Can't stand Lakers. I'm not a Laker fan because of Kobe. No one could work with Kobe. And then now I'm hearing that they're trying to, the Lakers are probably going to look at LeBron James or Carmelo to go to the Lakers in 2014. One, you named all three ball hogs right there. You're not going to make a big three on the Lakers with Kobe. Come on. Carmelo just started sharing the ball. Give him a break. He knows he wants to keep the ball from Kobe. He knows he ain't getting the ball back if he passes it to Kobe. And Kobe knows the same thing with him. They both go for the hardest shot. They're not going to make it. Suck it up. And LeBron James, we know everybody's going to hop onto that Laker bandwagon and be like, yo, I'm a Laker fan now. I'm LeBron James. I'm Kobe Bryant. I bet you can't even name all the players on the team. You just know those two. Then you got the Knicks. They're being stupid. You paid Marcus Camby and Novak for some garbage Raptors player. Really? What are y'all thinking? He's not that good. I've seen him play. Okay, we got callers on the line now. Jeez. Hello, caller, you on the air?
Hello.
How's
Hello.
It going?
What's up? What's up, Miles? Where you been, man? Been missing you, bro.
I know. The trial's been going on. So we had to get the seriousness out the way so we could have some fun now.
Yeah. First off, I want to jump on the Knicks real quick.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
What in the...
Bye.
Are they smoking or drinking crack juice or something? What are they doing? I would still keep Marcus Camby, and then you give up our Hawkeye shooter, who is deadly
exactly.
from 3-point range, for a guy's name that I can't even remember.
Exactly. That's how
he Come on now, he wasn't doing anything in Toronto. Why would you even go to Toronto to get anybody? They don't have anybody.
They don't have anybody.
Come on. You know what? There needs to be, the Knicks do need to cut somebody from their team. And let's start with the general manager.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Because he's got
true,
to be, they ought to drug test him. They really need to drug test him. Because something is very wrong there. Something is very wrong. And then just to even have a rumor in the air about Carmelo, please, Carmelo's not going anywhere.
No,
Carmelo's going to be, he's going to retire in New York. Believe that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way, I don't think they could be that dumb and let him get away.
Not
but then
not,
again,
you know
some
that.
Of the stuff they've been doing lately, look at what they've been doing lately. It's kind of scary. It's kind of scary. And all you guys
That's
thinking
true.
That LeBron is going, well, LeBrana
LeBrana.
Is going to wind up in La La Land. Wake up out of your La La dream because it's not going to happen. You got two ball hogs on the same team? Come on.
Thank you.
You're going to incite a riot out on the basketball court.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be fighting over the ball. Both of them wants to be the star, so you can forget about it. If anything, maybe LeBron may go back home, a place where he should have never left. If he had any kahunas, he would have never left Cleveland. So Gahunas, we know he does not have. So, and now, did you see this deal with Cleveland?
No, what happened with Cleveland?
Cleveland is going to bring, is going to pay, what is it, $42 million for 2 years?
Ooh.
To, what's his face, that was playing with L.A., was the center. But he went to Philadelphia, and he hadn't played a season yet with him because of his knees.
Okay,
oh, boy. Say again?
So what's the
I can't remember his name.
Can't play with his
because they were trying to compare him, saying he was one of the great centers when he was in L.A.
But
he was just too young. He was too young.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Bynum.
Yeah.
Bynum.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just signed Bynum to a 2-year contract for, I think, for $42 million, and $8 or $9 million is not guaranteed. That's still too much money for him. He still has to move himself. He's a spoiled brat. Come on. He's worse than Howard.
He hasn't proven anything yet, so what the hell are you proving that for?
I didn't want to say Howard's voice because I'm sick of Howard, Dwight Howard. I really am.
Thank you.
Dwight Howard has been in the league long enough to have been matured, and he hasn't. He's still walking around sucking on lollipops. So he really needs to get his act together. But I tell you what, he may be in Houston because he couldn't handle the pressure in L.A. If he couldn't handle the pressure in L.A. and he was crying about he wanted to play in Brooklyn, do you know what they would have did to him in Brooklyn if he came to Brooklyn with that type of attitude?
Exactly.
You know, they would have been like a lynch mob. He wouldn't have lasted a season in New York, let alone Brooklyn. Come on. Now he's in Houston to where, like Shaq says, yeah, he should go to a little town. Houston is not that big, really. And their fan base is not that flamboyant to me. I don't like Houston anything. Anyway, I don't like Texas, period. Hello, Texas. I'm talking about you, yeah. Because I'm not a Cowboys fan neither, and they all can suck me.
I am not a Cowboys fan either. Hell no.
Yeah, them and their cowgirls. But I don't know what's going on in the sports world. Period, man. These athletes have lost their rabbit minds. Something is very wrong. Yeah. I mean, do they think they just because they get paid all these millions, they carry carte blanche and are able to do whatever they want to do? I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Maybe it's something in the food they're eating. Maybe they ought to come back to the hood and eat some real food. I don't know.
So what do y'all think about this whole Brooklyn Nets right now? Do you think they're going to be competition this year?
You know what? It's kind of scary because see, I'm torn between two nations right now because I've been a Knicks fan all my life, and I'm born and raised in Brooklyn. So I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm about spread eagle right now. But it seems like right now Brooklyn are making better moves than the Knicks are right now.
Knicks
are making stupid. Brooklyn are making better moves right now than the Knicks. I don't know what the heck. I mean, when is the owner going to step up and say, hey, look, let's get rid of this idiot manager and let's get somebody in here that knows what he's doing. You know, it makes me want to believe that they should have kept Isaiah Thomas.
Nah, honestly, they need to get rid of Stoudemire because they pay him too much for nothing.
Let me tell you something. Stoudemire has still got it. I would hate to see him go to L.A., and that's what the talk has been.
Oh.
I would hate to see him go to L.A. because Stoudemire, I think he's going to be a lot more grounded now since he took that walk down the aisle. And he's got some responsibility on him now. I think that's going to change his whole attitude.
He's not
Stoudemire anymore. Say what?
I heard Meta World Peace was supposed to come to the Knicks now.
You know what? I don't know. He's on some type of medication, man, and something's wrong with him, man.
Nah, they don't understand.
Do you know that he would be a locker room cancer in New York?
Yes,
he's going to come to New York. I don't think he would get along with Melo.
I really don't.
Because, you know, whenever L.A. and New York would meet, there was always kind of some type of friction between Melo and Meta.
Yeah.
You know, and I wouldn't like that combination. That would be trying to force oil and water together, and that's not going to work.
You got to understand, though, Chandler already gets too many technicals. We don't need Meta added on to the technicals for the Knicks.
Right. They need to give Chandler some help in that center spot. And what
that's
they just picked up. That's how they have what?
That's
Martin,
why they had
Martin's
Martin
okay,
last
but
year.
But Martin is only what, 6'9", 6'10"?
Yeah.
We need a 7-footer. And that 7-footer is like that they picked up. He doesn't score. He gets very little rebounds. What the heck is he 7 foot for? Somebody cut his legs off or something, because he doesn't deserve that height. He doesn't deserve that height at all. I mean, I know God does wonderful things, but My goodness.
That is a complete waste of height.
I think what he did was, in the line of height, he cheated in the line and he jumped ahead of a few people.
Probably.
Yeah.
And hopefully
that's what happened
from the Knicks now. He went to the Pacers.
Who?
Copeland.
Yeah, now that was another dumb mistake.
Oh,
how can you let Copeland get away? That's youth. He's young.
Yeah.
Are you going to keep him? Come on.
Copeland was nasty during the playoffs. Like, we still needed him this year, but the Knicks, they spent their money stupidly and did not have enough money to guarantee him to keep him.
Yeah. But now they're going to have to make some real drastic moves. Like you said, you know, Stoudemire, I think he's going to be a better player now, because since he's got married, and he's going to be a lot more of a mature player, which that should have happened a long time ago. And I think he should have married that girl a long time ago. After 4 kids and you're just now marrying her? Come on, man. What's wrong with you?
He don't want to settle yet. That's what it was. He wants to stay wild and crazy.
Wild and crazy, after the first kid, you should have been responsible, man. There's no excuse for that.
But
come on, 4
happened.
Kids, and you still haven't sown your wild oats after 4 kids with this one woman, and you just now decided to marry her. That's crazy. But I wish him well, but if we can get some type of compensation for him, I wouldn't mind giving him a trade. But you have to get somebody that's worth it. And then the draft picks that they gave up for that idiot center?
Yeah.
Come on, what was it, a first and second round?
Yeah. And, like, honestly, what the Knicks need right now is a center and a point guard. Those are the two main positions they need right now. Because Felton, he can't hold it down by himself. And the other dude, I can't even pronounce his name, he's not going to – like, he's an okay player. He's not the best. He's still a rookie in my eyes after the playoffs.
Yeah.
And supposedly I heard Carmelo wants to get Rondo onto the Knicks. Because I'm
think
sure
that would
Rondo
be a good match.
In Boston. It would be.
I would think Rondo would be a good match for New York. You can say what you want to say about Rondo, but he is the floor leader.
I know. I can't say nothing about Rondo. That's the only reason why we beat them in the playoffs is because Rondo was not playing.
Rondo was not playing, that's right.
If Rondo was playing, that would have been another first-round knockout for us, honestly.
Right. I think so. If they can pull that off, I don't care what Brooklyn does. If they've got Rondo, he's going to be a perfect floor leader for them.
Yeah. Nah, and then they're also interested in Billups. Again, Billups was another ball hawk.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Billups would be a good fit.
Why are they trying to get ball hogs on the same team? They just resigned J.R. Smith. I'll accept that one. But at the same time, J.R. Smith better get his act together and stop messing with Rihanna, because apparently Rihanna messes up everyone. You got Chris Brown, who's beating her to death, and then going crazy. And then you got Drake making the same song over and over again. And now you got J.R. Smith partying during the playoffs, and we lost the game because of him. Come on now.
Yeah.
Rihanna is poison for all of them. Stay away.
Give it to Kevin Garnett.
Pass her to Brooklyn. Give it to the Brooklyn Nets.
What? Who?
Give her to the Brooklyn Nets. Rihanna.
Yeah. Let's sabotage them over there.
Exactly.
I think that was a setup anyway. JR needs to wake up, man.
Exactly.
Man, let him hook up with what's her name, Sierra, somebody. Get him a New York girl, man. That's not a New York girl.
No, J.R. Smith, nah, you know, Rihanna's problem, honestly, she likes thugs. And J.R. Smith is exactly what she wants. He has mad tattoos for no reason. So she's like, oh, let me go mess with him. And then that got to his head. He hasn't played good since the first round after elbowing Terry. After that, he was done during the playoffs.
I don't think they should have gave him the money they gave him, especially after the season that he had, because he wasn't consistent at all last season. I could see if he shows some consistency, but he hasn't. That's why the general manager has got to be smoking something or drinking something that's really spiked. Something is really wrong.
We don't know sometimes with the Knicks. I mean, like, the Knicks can make the best moves, but it's the fact they don't know how to spend their money or make the proper trades.
Right.
Because of the fact, why would you get rid of Novak? And you know Novak can shoot threes.
Yeah, why do you think they call him Hawkeye?
He may not be the best defender, but when it comes to the threes, he's on point.
Yeah.
I've seen him make 6 threes in a row. And I'm So why let him go for someone who can't even play?
Yeah.
I guess in a way they're trying to give Brooklyn a better chance this year against the Knicks.
I can't figure it out. Well, maybe, I don't know.
It's
really confusing.
Well, Katie brought up a good point because of the fact with Jay-Z and everything right now. He doesn't own part of the Nets anymore because of the fact he's signing. He's a sports manager basically right now. So,
well, he's an agent.
He's a
sports agent now.
So now he has Kevin Durant. He has Victor Cruz. He has Kano. But my thing is right now, I heard like 2016 or whenever Durant's contract is up, they're going to try to get him to the Knicks. Come on now, really? Just
talking about Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
You talking about Kevin Durant? Oh, yeah, that's already in the works.
I wouldn't mind having him in New York, because honestly, put him and Melo together, I think that would be a perfect match right there.
Look, I'll tell you what. I would put all my money on New York every day if that was to happen.
Katie just pointed out something good, because she said ego problems.
Because
Melo,
I feel like if you can... If you can put Melo with Stoudemire, Kevin Durant in New York, do you know what that would mean, man? It would be a madhouse in New York in Madison Square Garden. It would be a madhouse. You probably couldn't get a ticket for that game.
You can't even get a ticket now.
Yeah, well.
Unless Carmelo came to New York.
Yeah.
No tickets available.
Yeah, but New Yorkers will find a way to get into that garden to see those games. You know that, right? There are ways to get
They
got to
be on the ghetto status there. Like,
yeah.
They try to get black now.
I say that because I remember there were times I figured out ways to get in there and without a ticket. So
you got to know people who know some people.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. you gotta know the people right there.
That's right.
But you went to a hockey game. You didn't go to Nick game. There's a difference.
Yeah. Hockey, I could take it. When it comes to hockey, I could take it or leave it. If the Rangers or New York Islanders aren't doing anything, I don't want to watch no hockey.
I don't watch the Rangers. I watch the Devils a little bit more. So I put my money on Devils more than Islanders. I don't even know what the Islanders are. I don't know where they're from.
The Island who?
You don't know where they're from.
Island who? Mr. Williams.
Yes.
Let me say this to you. I didn't know nothing about hockey until I started working hockey, and the first day I loved it. New York Rangers is the bomb. Okay, and the hockey is the bomb. Islanders,
well,
what? I don't know who they are.
That was the only hockey team I ever knew was New York Rangers. Any other hockey teams, I didn't know what the heck you were talking about.
The Washington was, well, hockey is the bomb. It's like it's the next step down from exciting basketball because it's just as much, and plus they're always fighting on the ice. It's funny. They're always
fighting. It's fun. It's fun to watch. Hockey is fun to watch. I mean, I'm a baseball fan. I watch baseball all my life. I watch football too. But hockey's like, it's completely different. It's a whole different world. You know, I mean, just seeing them just get angry over something small and they're out of the ice and they beat each other up is the funniest thing to ever watch. It's fun.
Oh, yeah, they have some good fights. I love the fights.
They have a franchise, and now they're trying to bring them fights down. They're trying to lower that now. But
oh, don't do that, man. They're going to water it down. Let them fight.
Let them fight, man.
That's part of the game.
The viewpoints of the guest is not necessarily the viewpoints of the host, people.
That's where the excitement comes in, man. What a thing to see, man! To see a guy just get clobbered, man. That's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
I wish I knew how to ice skate and play hockey, man. I would love that, man. Knock somebody's teeth out. No, I'm just playing, panel.
So I've watched hockey for the past few months, and it's not only ice hockey. I've watched street hockey. I've watched roller hockey, and it's completely different. It's like so much fun just to watch them just get angry. And it took me just a few games to watch your swimming to understand it. I was like, wow, there's a whole new experience for me. I love it. You know, I love it.
Yeah. You know what I think should be a good sport? Full tackle, street full tackle. Man, we used to play street tackle in the middle of the street football.
Football?
Oh, man. Oh, man, that was kind of intriguing, seeing people get knocked up underneath cars.
I'm just kidding, y'all.
I had
to stop. I've been trying football over tackle football.
Oh, tackle football on blacktop? Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone home with scrapes and, man, strawberries, hip strawberries and stuff. Man. Hey, Miles, where you at, man?
We were cutting down and everything. We got like 3 minutes left. So final thoughts on any sport or anything that we consider sports right now.
Why? What is up with, you know, everything backing A-Rod like crazy? What is up with that? The steroid part, give me a freaking break. You know what? I'm going to have to say this out right now. I blame it on the fans. It's A-Rod's decision to do whatever, but still, I blame it on the fans. First off, because us as fans, we want them to be the best. We want them to be smacking every home run to bring up the, you know, to bring up their average and everything like that, and it puts them under the pressure to be that far. We treat them as robots. So if they're not that great, like that show was McGuire versus Sosa with the home run thing. I mean, it was to that point that they have to be that perfect just to make that many home runs, to have that many RBIs in, and to have their average on the top at the end of the season. You know, I've learned on the fence for pushing it that far. I mean, it's, I know it's the way I'm saying it, but it's true.
Even my mother agrees. She even says to herself, we blame it on the fans more. Because that's how we want our baseball players.
Okay, we're down to 2 minutes. So, Deacon, what's your final thought?
Go Yankees.
Go Knicks. Go New York, go. Go New York. Rihanna, go to Boston.
Nah, go to Brooklyn.
Go to Brooklyn. Go barbecue. Go barbecue. Get your hands off my neck.
Go
barbecue.
Go barbecue. Go barbecue.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up now. Thank you, guys, for your entire input on both segments. Thank you for your thoughts. Thank you for your loyalty. Lady Diamond, love you, girl.
Love you, too.
All right, let's get ready for some football, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes, Diamond.
That season.
That's
next. My favorite season.
Diamond. All right. Thanks, guys. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are down to our final minute, and I would like to let all of you know that tonight's topic was inspired by so many people that have lost so much over misunderstandings or of stubborn pride. Those of us that are Christian and know the Lord know that we definitely cannot have pride in our way, because God mandates forgiveness, and he says, if you don't forgive, neither will he forgive you. So until then, everybody, be blessed, be a blessing, and make a difference. Say I'm sorry to somebody today and make it right all around, okay? See you tomorrow night at 8.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.